Solak and Arcand are live at the Atkinson Resort and Country Club for the Who's Your Caddy Classic on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, cruising into the noontime hour here at Zolak and Bertrand. Arcand in for Bertrand. We are live up in Atkinson, New Hampshire at the 2018 Who's Your Caddy Classic at Atkinson Resort. All the proceeds here benefiting PACT, PACT, Pediatric Advanced Care Team at Children's Hospital Boston. And, of course, special thanks to McGovern Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram and Callaway Golf. We got some players out there now, Zo.
Yeah.
We got some shots coming over the water. We saw what we thought was Tony Maz. It wasn't him.
Good golfer. Stuck it to about 8 feet from the pin.
That's how we should know it wasn't him.
I thought it was Maz. Maz is up here. He goes, I didn't look that dumpy. And we all thought it was Maz from up here.
Until the shot landed near the hole. That's when
I was going to go and step on the ball and just bury it in the ground. But thank God I didn't do that because it was not Maz.
Would have been awkward otherwise.
Strangers. Yes.
Anyway, we're live up here. We're going to get going with the Who's Your Caddy Classic in about an hour and a half, 90 minutes from now when we tee off here with the actual tournament has a lot of great prizes here. First place for the foursome, getting a $100 Capital Grill, a Chestnut Hill gift card, Splitsville Luxury Lanes gift certificates, Seasons 52 Rail Stop gift cards, all sorts of great stuff here. The closest to the pin, you get a $500 Visa gift card. We're really giving them out in this. This is my first golf tournament. This is my first time being here for this, and I'm enjoying it so far. So far, so good. Even though I haven't been outside yet.
It's hot, too.
I hear it's very hot out
Hardy
there.
Hardy came in. They played 9 holes. He looks sticky.
Yeah, those guys are drenched. There you go. That's what's going on here today. The phone number, of course, 617-779-0985. If you'd like to chime in, we had some phone issues earlier. They are resolved, I think. And I wanted to get to something Sarge just mentioned here, Zoe, in the headlines. And that's the Mike Moustakas situation here for the Red Sox. We talked in the first hour about could this team make a move? Is there a move to be made here that would get people sort of maybe saying, well, despite all the last two seasons of falling short in the playoffs, a move for X, player X or pitcher X, whoever it is, that could maybe clear all that up, or maybe not clear it up, but certainly push that to the back of people's minds and think, all right, this is a new team with new players and a new standard here. What could that be? Who could that player be? You mentioned Manny Machado. Does Mike Moustakas, another double M, does he fit the bill for you?
He's a step under that, obviously, but because the Yankees are in on him, right? So that's what you want to do. I mean, this is basically what we're going to do for the next month and a half is, back and forth, keeping pace. Did they make a move? Do you have to make a move? Because that's the team ultimately you're going to have to beat in this division, and probably in the playoffs. Does seeding matter?
I definitely.
I heard Felger Mass talking about this last week, too, that regardless, you're going one way or the other, you're going through them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like just because you finish first that you're going to be guaranteed to get, say, Cleveland. And you could be matched up with them right away, but you don't want to play the playing game. You don't want to have that pressure.
No.
You want to be guaranteed a spot. At least you know you're going to get a series to get in there, manage it a little bit, and see what happens.
Yeah. And
what's Moustakas do for you?
Moustakas, I like him.
You have to give up?
Good player. He's only got the end of this year, and then there's a mutual team option for next year, which I don't think would carry over onto his new team. And if it did, it's $15 million. That's another rental, much like Machado. And it's not a young rental either. Machado's still in his early 20s. Moustakas is almost 30. So, that would really just sort of be, you're renting the guy. And for the Kansas City Royals, I mean, they're a disaster, that team. They're so bad. And I sort of look at it and think, well, there's only four teams in the American League that are really playing for anything. So they're going to start picking at all these corpses, right? But then you look at the National League, Zoe, and they're all in it. Everybody in the National League is still very much competitive in that wild card race. They're going to be the ones who might price the Red Sox out of a rental like Mike Moustakas, which is unfortunate because the Red Sox can really use him. And I think to avoid, the play-in game and beyond the playoff play-in game, after you win that play-in game, then you got to play the team with the best record, which is probably going to be Houston or the Yankees or whoever it is. So, that's not the path you want to go down. Is it worth it, though, to give up a prospect or any sort of real capital to get a guy who's 29 years old, who's only here for the end of the year, and then you have this option for 15 next season, you know, or even Manny Machado, who, you know, you'd love to keep around, and the Red Sox certainly can afford to keep him if they want to extend him, but it's not really up to them. It's up to him. Where does he want to go? Does he want to stay here? Does he want to go to New York? Does he want to go somewhere else? You don't really know that. It's kind of the same problem that NBA teams are having with guys like Kawhi Leonard. Sure, yeah, they love the player, but they're not going to give up a lot for him if they know he's out of town the next year.
Problem is, you really have nothing to give up. That's another thing. A part of problem number one. And you said no on the Machado stuff, or what you would have to give up to get him. So why wouldn't you be no on the other guy?
Yeah,
Moustakas. I mean,
really?
I don't think one fixes the other.
Manny Machado, you know, a lot of people came in with the whole, well, how about Devers for Machado straight up? And in a vacuum, sure. If Machado had four more years left on his contract, or even two, I'd say fine, consider it. But for the end of this season, to give up on a kid that young, who's shown, you know,
all rentals. Yeah,
I mean, for a rental, that's a lot. And I look at it like this. Like, Dave Dombrowski last year needed an eighth-inning guy in Addison Reed. So he gave up two first single-A guys, two single-A prospects, got Addison Reed, brought him in here. He did his job. He was fine. Red Sox still fell short. The year before that, they needed Brad Ziegler. So they went out and got him. The year before was Drew Pomeranz, I think, at the All-Star break right around this time, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whenever that was. And, you know, they were able to get him for a single-A pitcher who had some value, but now it turns out is kind of a bum. So, you know, he's been able to make moves like that without giving up a ton. When he wants to get a big fish, when he needs your Chris Sale, your Craig Kimbrell, et cetera, those type of players, he throws in the kitchen sink. I mean, all the prospects go to those guys. The capital that it took just to get those two pitchers, who, by the way, are one of the best starters and best closers in the league. It's not like he got ripped off. But that's who you need to kick in big money for. A midseason acquisition for a rental, it seems like the price shouldn't be high. I'm just worried that these National League teams are going to price them out. You know, I mean, that's sort of the way these things go. When there's one league that's not competitive and one that is, the one that is, they're all going to go crazy in bidding wars and stuff like that to get their guy.
Yeah, and I mean, what are you going to do to ignite a fan base? You know, I think the team's good enough now. They've given themselves enough of a cushion. You know, obviously the Yankees lost, so, you know, the lead's extended. You feel pretty good about the team going into the All-Star break. But bottom line, you still want to add one more little piece. And who knows, they may have to go pitching. They may have to go because of the condition of Rodriguez and him getting hurt.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't look good for him for the second half that he may even pitch, you know, according to Alex Cora. So you may have to go get a pitcher as opposed to an everyday player, you know, to help bolster to get a bat. Everybody says, yeah, we'd like to get another bat, but hey, you hit enough right now.
Yeah.
I think this team's good enough at scoring runs.
The offense has been tremendous. There's not much you can critique about them, except maybe the bottom of the order has been a little soft with Bradley and the catchers.
They're winning with Flair now.
And
whether you like it or not, two grand slams, you know, you got a walk-off. I mean, that's big stuff. It's
sure.
Good stuff.
And some may argue that, you know, it shouldn't have taken extra innings to beat the Blue Jays at home, but you know, that's another story for another time.
You didn't lose, you still won.
They did win the game.
Picked up another game on the Yankees.
Indeed.
So that's what you do. You're supposed to beat the bad teams.
And a 4.5 game lead on the Yankees going into this, considering the fact that it was only about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was looking at projections, and everybody had the Yankees beating taking the Red Sox by like 3-4 games maybe in the division at the end of the year. That's the way the projections were going in the Red Sox, and that was after the 3-game series.
Right.
Where the Yankees slapped you around a little bit. Do any of these games matter until August 2nd when they play New York again? You got Detroit, Baltimore, Minnesota, and Philadelphia to close out the month of July, and then the Yankees to start off the month of August. I feel like all of these games are kind of inconsequential. The games that matter are the games that matter this year more than ever.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's how you come out of the gate, too. You don't want to come out slow. So you're going to get the rest on the guys that need it. The guys like Chris Sale, I think David Price is pitching first coming out of the gate, so big pressure on him to get going here in the second half.
Yeah, and he's a guy that I think everyone is still sitting here worried about going into the end of the season. When you get to September, when you get to October, you know what David Price is. You know what.
So here we are again talking about it doesn't really matter what you do until then.
Yeah.
Until what you show. So it's pretty much. It's still status quo.
Yeah, and Price has a reputation that sort of supersedes this. Like, he's never won in the playoffs since, you know, 07 when he was a relief pitcher. Like, it doesn't work for him. Chris Sale, we don't really know. We saw his first ever playoff game last year. It wasn't good, but it was his first one ever. Porcello, up and down. Rodriguez, is he going to even be healthy? It almost seems like the move that should be made here is in the pitching staff, but in the starting rotation, you want to bring in a big impact starting pitcher, someone better than, like, who was last year, Doug Fister? Like, a guy who can actually go out there and perform in the postseason? You don't have the capital for that. You don't have anything close to that kind of capital.
Right.
nothing.
I have no expectations for them to really add anybody with any sort of punch,
yeah.
whether it's with an arm, with a bat, or whether you're a positional player. It's just going to be a depth piece, and that's about it.
Yeah, which is too bad. But, you know, when you spend that much money on a guy like Price, that much prospect capital on a guy like Sale,
yeah.
Porcello's making a lot of money, too. He's making $20 million. You know, that should be more than what it is come yeah. playoff time. 617-779-0985 is your phone number. We got open phone lines here. We're live at the 2018 Who's Your Caddy Classic at Atkinson Resort. Quick break. We'll be right back after this here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zoe and Beetle, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak in Arcan.
Where'd everybody go?
Just across the border at the Atkinson Resort and Country Club for the Who's Your Caddy Classic on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, back here live at Atkinson, the 2018 Who's Your Caddy Classic. Christian Arcan in for Bertrand. Zolak's here as well. Jim Lau sitting to my left. Sarge back in Dorchester giving you the headlines. And I just got tweeted this a second ago.
What'd you get?
Sports Insights for the Major League Baseball American League pennant odds. You know who's leading right now in the odds?
Houston.
I'd say your Boston Red Sox
really?
Are. At plus 228. Houston's right behind them at plus 250. Yankees are plus 300. The Indians plus 690. And then the Mariners plus 1,000. And I look at that Sports Insights that has it. I don't know if every book has it. We'd have to get Lifshatz on the line here. I think this is from Five Dimes. Is Five Dimes one of the good ones? I feel like Five Dimes is one of the good ones.
It's one of the ones that when you look it up, it always comes up in the list with all the other like good options. Yeah.
Right. So it doesn't sound like Five Dimes sounds like something your friend just started, but like it actually, I think, is one of the legitimate ones.
Right, right.
And they're kind of feeling the Red Sox right now. They're thinking this could be it. Like, you know, the American League pennant team representing in the World Series.
Yeah.
That would involve the Red Sox winning a playoff game or two or three or several in order to get to the World Series. And we've been discussing this for a better part of the show so far, Zoe, is that, you know, while we'd like to believe that this year will be different, while we'd like to see this team sort of overcome their first-round playoff problems, what has really changed, if anything? Not much. The only real difference...
The league got worse. It stinks.
The league got worse.
That's what's changed.
The American League is substantially worse, and the Red Sox got J.D. Martinez. And there you go. There's your two big differences right now between this year and last year. What's the same from this year and last year is that Houston's still very, very good.
Houston's a good team.
Houston's a wagon. The Yankees are better than they were last year and continue to improve. And you've gotten better, too. The Red Sox have gotten better. I think there's no doubt about that. You can't say that it's been a lateral move this season or that they've gotten worse or anything along those lines. The Red Sox are one of the five teams in the American League that's playing for something, and they've improved this year. There's
right.
no question about it. But is it enough? I feel like most Red Sox fans deep down in the you know barrel of their souls here will tell you, no, it really isn't, even if they put it out there or have a different sort of outlook on it in person. I think we all sort of know deep down that despite some of these changes, we're really looking at a team that's very similar
right.
to last year. And when it comes to pitching in the playoffs, which is the most important thing when it comes to pitching, they're – if not the same, and maybe even a little, slightly a step down here with Rodriguez.
It's how
hurt.
They've lost, too. It's what
yeah.
I think it scarred people. You get your ass swept. You know, I mean, those games weren't even close.
Mm-hmm.
And until you prove differently, you know, what's Mookie Betts going to be postseason?
Right.
He hasn't been good postseason.
No. Martinez hasn't really either.
I tell you what, I feel pretty good about those two players going into it. At least I think, you know, in the back of my mind, those guys are going to be good. They're going to help carry you offensively. You got to find ways to win 2-1 games, 3-2 type games, those tough games where your starters are going to have to find a way to bear down, get through 7 innings, because I don't trust this bullpen one bit.
Yeah.
You can't. That's your problem. I mean, God forbid one of your guys gets knocked out in the 5th inning. That's where you're going to have issues in the entire series.
Yeah.
That's how you get guys tired.
And if you look back on the Red Sox teams that did win World Series or even made deep playoff runs, that's one thing that was pretty consistent with all of them. 2004, you had a great bridge from your starter to your closer. You know, I mean, a very, very solid bridge with Timlin and Embry and Williamson and all those guys. 2007, same deal. You know, I mean, you just had a bullpen that you could rely on to get to Papelbon.
Right.
Even in 2013, to get to Koji, I mean, you just felt good about those guys. You felt like, okay, whenever the starter's done, you're gonna be able to get to your closer. You're going to be able to get to your guy
right.
without having to really sweat it out that much. you haven't had that. Not in this iteration of the Red Sox. You've not really had a steady bullpen, or certainly not enough that you look at him and think, okay, if the starter comes out after five or six, which is all Eduardo Rodriguez gives you, even when he's healthy, who's coming in next? I don't even know. I don't even know who your eighth inning guy is right now. We're at the All-Star break. We should know this, shouldn't we? I mean, for a team that's won 63 games, like, you should know who your eighth inning guy is.
This is why there's hesitation, I think, at times with this team.
Yeah.
Where it's, you know what it's ultimately going to be. It's a three-team race. I mean, we do this with hockey, too. We just did AFC football. I gave you two teams, Pittsburgh and Jacksonville. That's it. I mean, then it's like a grouping of all the other teams.
Right.
Red Sox are put themselves in a good spot. They have a lot of games at home. Yankees' schedule isn't as soft as the Red Sox, but it's still not a tough one.
Yeah.
Both these teams are going to be there. That last series, it's going to come down to.
I was reading Cafardo over the weekend, his notes column on Saturday, just to get an idea of who the Red Sox might be targeting at the trade deadline. And he had a lot of good options on there. But then he had sort of his, that apropos of nothing thing he does.
Yeah.
Where it's just a bunch of random observations. One of them was, and I swear to God, I read this and I started laughing. It said, Rob Manfred, please do something about the shifts. All these shifts are killing baseball. And I read that and I honestly started laughing because if you think that's what's hurting baseball, the shifts, and not the fact that there's 10 teams in the American League right now who've had nothing to play for since June 1st. There's a home run derby with only one guy in it that I would know if you walked right past me right now. And, all the other sort of issues plaguing the marketing of these players and the fact that all of these teams are just terrible and no one cares about them and aren't really engaged with them at all. And even the good teams, it's tough to get engagement with.
Why is a shift hurting baseball?
I have no
idea. We talked about this last week.
The shift? Really? That's your thing?
You know what the shift does? It makes me watch. It's entertaining to me because can the guy beat the shift? You're asking a major league hitter to, God forbid, go the other way. What, do you really got to pull it every damn time you're up the bat? Yeah, you're a major league hitter. Slap the ball the other way one time.
Yeah. The Blue Jays were shifting on Jackie Bradley Jr. this weekend. I was like, what are you doing? It's Jackie Bradley. You don't have to shift for him. He's not going to put the ball in play half the time.
They also walked the guy. I mean, Jesus. Yeah. Pitch to him. Let him put a ball in play. You know he's not going to get on base.
I know.
That's how Betts came up the bat.
Exactly. And that was even sad. I mean, that guy pitching, I forget who it was, but you walked.
It was Happ, wasn't
it? It was Happ. It's right. It was Jay Happ. Who might be like the hottest guy on the trade block right now in terms of starting pitching.
You might as well shift on Bradley. Sad. He tries to pull everything, no matter where the ball. He tries to pull everything.
Right. True. No, I might as well shift on him. Yeah. Yeah, totally. No, I'm saying pitch to him.
Yeah, right.
They walked him on four straight balls after he got down the count.
And then, they walked him to get the Mookie Betts. Yeah. That was some intelligent strategizing.
Stupid.
That's teams.
Teams are stupid.
Do you trust David Ortiz, though?
Did I trust David Ortiz?
Yeah. Hell, he says his thoughts?
Yes.
He says baseball should think about banning the shift. He said Bryce Harper shouldn't be hitting 220. One of the best hitters in baseball. It's crazy. It takes part of the fun away from the game.
I think that's wrong. Sorry. I mean, I hate it.
I just think it's a strategy that you can use to your advantage, and I think it's great. I think it's one of the more interesting things about baseball.
I know.
So keep it more plain Jane than what it is now.
Is there any other sport where you can't adjust your defense?
Jim, are you a shift guy or not a shift guy?
Well, no. You couldn't play zone in the NBA
for a long time.
Now
you can.
It's like, hey, NFL,
NFL, you can't
stick the regular defense. You can't go nickel or dime.
Special teams, you can't put more than so many guys on the line of scrimmage on a certain side. You can't overload one side.
You know what you got to do?
That's the equivalent of a shift.
Watch a game from the 70s. Watch a game from the 70s and how the game's adapted. There's no fullbacks anymore in the National Football League, except for James Devlin.
Yeah.
What do you tell Brady and company? You got to use a fullback and a halfback and two wide receivers?
Yeah.
God forbid.
I don't think the shift is going to make more people watch baseball, though.
I don't think the lack of shift is going to bring people back. Like, if they ban the shift, you think people are going to be like, oh, thank God.
Well, I mean,
now I can watch baseball again?
That's all it is.
Yeah, David Ortiz didn't like it.
He wants it easier for the hitter.
They'd shift on him every single time. Yeah. And maybe he lost a couple of hits, but I remember Ortiz hitting a lot of balls through the shift. So, I mean, that's a convenient excuse and I think a very weak one as to what's plaguing baseball right now. The shift ruining baseball? Come on, guys. Like, if that's what you're focusing on, if that's what you're sort of hand-waving away all the other major problems that baseball has and focusing on the freaking shift, like that to me is just, oh man, that's almost like delusional, like, what are you talking about? It's not the shift. The shift isn't that big of an issue. It's really what it is. The bigger problem with baseball, the biggest problem with baseball.
Find bigger names to hit against the shift.
Is tonight. Yes, exactly. This
is
the home
bitch.
Run derby, and I don't know who's in it. I don't know anybody. and I follow baseball. We do this for a living. We're here every day talking about baseball. And I couldn't tell you.
The celebrity all-star game, softball game.
Mm-hmm.
There are more ex-players, that names that resonate, and other people in this game, the softball game, than there are in the actual all-star game.
I knew
more names. The morning show was going over it. It was a list of guys. Guys like, like Steve Finley. I think Finley's in it. I'm not sure.
Okay.
There's a bunch of guys
in Bill Nye the science guy?
Bill Nye the science guy, yes.
I thought there was
some lady that was in the movie, the vampire movie. What the hell is it? Twilight. I remember her name.
Kristen Stewart?
No, it wasn't Kristen Stewart. It was,
there's another girl in those movies?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Chicago Fire actor Taylor Kinney. Brandon LaRocca from 13 Reasons Why, which I haven't seen that show because it looks really depressing.
13 Reasons Not to Watch It.
Sky Jackson from Jesse and Bunked, which I don't know this one. Oh, Jamie Foxx, I obviously know him. I don't know a lot of these people. I really don't.
I bet you know more of them than you do the actual players in the game.
Yeah, probably. 617-779-0985 is your phone number. Let's get back to the phones here. Talk to Dan. He is in Boston on line one. Hey, Dan.
Hey, how are you guys?
What's up, Dan?
What's up?
Well, I wanted to bring up just a quick fact about this whole shift nonsense. Ted Williams used to get shifted on all the time, and he refused to go the opposite way because he took it as a challenge. This guy is arguably the greatest hitter ever, and he brought it on as a challenge. And this was still during the years when he was hitting, 406. And you look down the lineup, you look at his testimonials. The shift is part of baseball. It's always been part of baseball. Joe Maddon was not the crafter of it. Yeah, he's like the modern dude. But realistically, defense is defense, and great hitters know where to put the ball. So, to blame ratings on something like that and to look at Bryce Harper hitting 220, well, realistically, hit them where they ain't, or, just be better at it. You had other people do it before you. And,
right.
For David Ortiz to complain about it, he was better at it. He actually, he got a bunch of hits robbed from him, but he learned where to hit it through the little holes there. So you can't really fault the defense. Good for the coaches to adjust on the hitters, but to blame baseball ratings or the poor product on a shift, that's pretty low on the totem pole.
Yeah, I don't even think it barely registers for me, like in terms of the problems with baseball and all the rest of that. And isn't that just such the stereotypical baseball player complaint? They're shifting on me too much. That's why my batting average is lower this year, because the infielders moved from here over to here, and now it's harder for me.
I heard people bitch about the Velcro gloves, and I agree with that. Remember Nomar with the gloves and just.
Tighten it up.
Mm-hmm. If you're forced to wear the gloves, or you want to wear the gloves, you have to probably put a piece of tape over it so you can't go and take your Velcro on and off.
And if you don't want to wear the gloves, you got to pee on your hands.
Or stepping in and out of the box. None of these guys like changes to the game. None of them. And I don't think Ortiz was bitching about it. I think he was probably just asked about it.
Yeah,
it's topic right now.
There was a poll that came out about how 93% of
pitch
baseball
clock.
Players
pitch
all
clock.
Think that,
period. Just use a pitch clock.
That would help, too.
Step one.
But all these players, they think there's nothing wrong with the game. And why would they? They all get guaranteed contracts.
That's
they all get paid
up on.
So much money. This is the way they've done it. Of course they don't think there's anything wrong with it.
I don't for once blame any of the current guys with the salaries they're making and how they were raised on the game to say or bitch about, we should make changes to our game. Yeah, I don't have no problem with that.
All right.
They shouldn't.
617-779-0985 is your phone number here. We're live at Atkinson Resort and Country Club for the 2018 Hoosier Caddy Classic. Arcan in for Bertrand alongside Zoe. Quick break. Here's the headlines from Sarge, and we're right back after this.
Sports Hub Headlines.
The Major League Baseball Home Run Derby is tonight from Washington, and of course, the All-Star Game tomorrow night. Representing the Red Sox, Mookie Betts, Mitch Moreland, J.D. Martinez, Chris Sale, and Craig Kimbrell. Alex Cora's team at the break, 38 games above 500 for the best record in the majors.
I think health is the most important thing. I think every manager at the big league level will tell you that. We're about to play, our game 100 or whatever it is. So, like I said, the All-Star break is coming at a perfect time. But, health. We got to stay healthy. That's the most important thing.
And the Red Sox will be back to work Friday in Detroit. ESPN reporting that the Sox, Braves, and the Yankees all interested in dealing for Kansas City third baseman Mike Moustakas at the trade deadline, which is just a couple of weeks away. Some NFL news. Pittsburgh Steelers have until 4 o'clock to sign running back Le'Veon Bell to a long-term deal before that franchise tag deadline, and the tag price $14.5 million. British Open first-round pairings announced for Thursday. Tiger Woods teeing off in the 10 o'clock hour Boston time with Hideki Matsuyama and Russell Knox. Headlines are brought to you by Wendy's. Wendy's new 4 for $4 now has more choices than ever. I'm Mike Riley on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in 30 minutes.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, Zoe, and the Beatle. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub has taken over the Atkinson Resort and Country Club. It's Zolak and Arcan.
Complete with tension and biting humor.
On Boston's Home for Sports. Sports.
Back here live at Atkinson. It's Arcan in for Beatle on Zolak and Bertrand. Nice to have you with us here now on this afternoon. A beautiful day here at the golf course. And we're starting to get the crowd in here up in the Merrill's Tavern area. All the big names and faces, including Tony Maserati and Bob Beers standing right behind us. How about that?
Hey, Beers. What's up, buddy?
What's up, fellas?
Bob Pierce hasn't met a golf course he hasn't liked.
Right. that's true. We got, well,
it's like, let's... Hey, it's a Bob Pierce and Scott Alcohol here hanging out today. Scott Vodka.
Scott Vodka. I like that.
Yeah.
Sounds like a wrestler, you know, from Russia or something like that.
Oh.
Speaking of Russia, we just had a big press conference over in,
I wonder how that went.
In Helsinki. The reviews are in, and they're about what you'd expect, Zoe.
Well, depending what what news agency you study.
Pretty much, yeah.
Or have on all the time.
Fox loved it. Breitbart loved it. Everyone else.
What if CNN liked it?
Seemed to care for it that much. We'll I'll check that out later when we're done here. In the meantime, we were talking about the home run derby tonight and how there's nobody in it that you care about other than Bryce Harper and producer Jim Louth, who's been sitting alongside and helping us out with the technical problems and making sure we sound good. Just put out a bracket of his own. Jim, you want to read down your bracket? You might as well do it, because this is...
I just wrote off the top of my head.
This is your problem with baseball right here, folks. Yeah. And this is an easy one. This is easy. Go ahead, Jim.
So your 1-8 matchup in the Home Run Derby tonight.
Mm-hmm.
J.D. Martinez, Kyle Schwarber.
Great. Terrific.
2-7, Aaron Judge, Mike Trout.
Okay. Oh. That's great. That's
3-6, Mookie Betts, Bryce Harper.
Mm-hmm. Jesus.
Sure.
4-5, Shohei Ohtani, Giancarlo Stanton.
All right. Now, that, first of all... Great bracket off the top of your head. Second of all, that would never happen because you're not going to get that many big-name guys to complain it. But here's my big thing. All you need is two. You just need two of those guys. All you have on that list playing in this is Schwarber, who I guess you know is sort of the throw-in there. He's the least big name of all the ones you mentioned. And Bryce Harper, and that's it.
What do we talk about in American League? We talk about the Astros, we talk about the Yankees, and we talk about the Red Sox.
Right.
Right? Because those are the three best teams. Just give me one guy from each team.
Bregman's all you got.
Betts.
Yeah.
You don't even have to give me J.D. Martinez. I know that's your home run hitter. Just give me Betts.
Yeah.
Shoot, give me Benintendi. You couldn't even vote Andrew Benintendi in the game. And that's where we're at with this. Like, give me one Yankee.
It's bizarre.
Give me Gary freaking Sanchez. Give me somebody. Somebody.
Sanchez and Judge were in it last year, and Giancarlo Stanton, all three of them were in it last year.
Give me the guy Bird that uses Josie's as walk-up song. Give me that guy.
Greg Bird?
Yeah, just add something to it.
It would be nice.
God.
It would really be – I feel like we're not asking much either here.
And this is – that's clearing. This is bad for the game.
Yeah. This is supposed to be –
It's an air break. This week is an air break for the game.
Yeah. And I mean, you all remember, of course, in the 2000s when it was Giambi and Sosa and these guys who all looked like mutant freak shows because they were all jacked up on steroids. But, I mean, that was entertaining. We liked that. We enjoyed
steroids.
That.
Love steroids.
I'd love for them to be – just bring steroids back. Let these guys juice again.
Yep.
Let them all look like cartoon monsters.
Make baseball great again.
Let's get back to the way things were, because this sucks. I mean, this is going to be a lousy product tonight. Even if it's really competitive and they're hitting big home runs and it's exciting and all of that, I mean, it's just, I don't care. No one's going to care enough to even follow it. It's like, you know, I'd rather watch the World Cup. And I didn't watch any of the World Cup. I didn't watch a single play. Like, it doesn't matter. And I feel like the less that they care about this, you can tell they don't care about it too, Zoe, because when they announced who this was, they did it in the middle of the night on a Wednesday. At like 11:30, 11:45, that's when they decide. That's
like
when they're
going
to announce who's in the home run derby. That's your news dump.
It's like
what
is this? Typical classic news dump. Nobody's listening. Nobody's paying attention.
That is brutal. At least dress it up. At least try. Like, come on, Manfred. Like, I actually like Manfred. I don't think he's this idiot that the last guy was.
How's he going to make you? want to be in the Home Run Derby? How's it going to make you want to play?
I don't know. I don't know how you can make someone care
about
it.
Can't make guys go to the Pro Bowl.
Force guys to go.
And yeah. I don't blame these guys, though. I really don't.
The guys who decide they don't want to play?
Yeah. If it's going to, you think it's going to be a glitch or that it's going to mess your swing up?
Supposedly
that's what it did to Judge last year.
Yeah, you know? Judge.
He wasn't the same for a month after that.
Bobby Abreu, I remember that famously happened to. It doesn't happen to everybody. David Ortiz was in it, and he was fine. Stanton last year, 2 years ago, had a fine season. I mean, I feel like it's not every single person screws their swing up, but I understand these guys want to protect their careers and their money and their stats and all of that. Fine, go ahead, but... Oh, man, it really just sucks for the rest of us. You leave them behind like that. It's a real bummer.
Carl Ravitch, Mark Teixeira, Jess Mendoza, Buster Olney. That's your broadcast crew.
Oh, my.
So you're not even watching for, Berman.
Oh,
even
God.
Though you sometimes you would just watch for the train wreck that's Berman. You're not even watching for that.
Mendoza now, huh? Mendoza, Teixeira, and who's the other one? Ravitch?
Why is she
Ravitch and Buster Olney, yeah.
Because it's an ESPN broadcast.
Yeah. Well, they couldn't even get A-Rod. A-Rod's like, I'm not
doing this. Can't get a former player.
Here, I was like, no thanks. Teixeira is a former player.
You know what I'm saying about her. I don't want to go down that road.
No, that's okay. We'll see.
She's not going anywhere. This is what ESPN likes. This is what they do.
Yeah. All right. 617-779-0985.
Cookie zone. How many cookie zones are you going to get tonight? Did you watch the one Sunday night game? I don't know. Was last year or the year before when it was the anniversary and they ESPN, I think, sent her flowers into the booth?
Oh, for Mother's Day.
For Mother's Day.
Yeah, I did see that.
Or whatever that was. Yeah.
And she got a little emotional. I saw this year, it was A-Rod, I think it was a Yankee game, and like they were talking about J-Lo and A-Rod and the type of ice cream they like when they go to the park.
It was
unbelievable. I was like, what are we doing here?
I think J-Lo came to eat the ice cream in the booth.
Is that right? Yes, because, they needed to get like up close and in person with the whole J-Lo ice cream
angle.
Speaking
of eating, you're not a nightshade guy, huh?
A nightshade guy?
Yeah, nightshade. Tomatoes. He's not eating his tomatoes.
Nah, I don't like tomatoes in my sandwiches.
You're like, what about Bob?
Yeah, I'll eat him on other things. Don't like him in sandwiches. Let's go to Ed. He is in Haverhill here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Hello, Ed. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about you guys?
Good to say, Ed.
All right, so I get an idea. So this Home Run Derby thing, it seems like what's happened is, and again, you could tell me if I'm right or wrong, but a lot of these guys were whining afterwards that, like, you know, the intense workout of the Home Run Derby wiped them out for the rest of the year, and some guys' numbers went down because of it. So what about you give them 10 swings each? I mean, how many swings do they take in batting practice every night when they're hitting home runs? Have them go 10 swings each against each other, and, you know, the last man standing wins. I mean, it is kind of like ludicrous that you got an all-star game, but you don't have an all-star Home Run Derby, which used to be like one of the highlights of the whole thing.
Yeah, it's true, Ed. Thanks for the call. I think that you look at the other sports in the NBA, like the dunk contest still has a little bit of juice to it. Like the Pro Bowl, no one cares about the Pro Bowl in the NFL anymore. I don't think they ever did.
Awful product.
It's stupid when they have it. It's kind of pointless. The whole thing's pointless.
It's terrible.
In the NHL, they have that skills competition still, I think. Like that's sort of a thing, I guess. No one's really – it's really just the dunk contest and the Home Run Derby.
I'm confused. I get mixed up on my dates, too. Do they still do the Pro Bowl the week before the Super Bowl, or do they – they move. It's back to its normal slot, right?
Yeah, to the week before, the week in between.
I thought it's after.
It's the week before.
It is,
isn't
it?
Yeah.
There's two weeks between the
last. That in itself is stupid. Like, you have the two best teams in football, which, you know what? None of those players are going to be playing in the Pro Bowl with supposed to have the best players.
Right. It's something just to have
dumb.
On.
It's just dumb.
On the Sunday when there's nothing else going on, I suppose. But even then, no one watches it. Nobody cares. And why should they? 617-779-0985 is your phone number. We got open phone lines here. Quick break, and we're back after this. Live from Atkinson here in the Who's Your Caddy Classic.
Solak, and Bertrand. Middays on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Arcand are live at the Atkinson Resort and Country Club for the Who's Your Caddy Classic on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, live at Atkinson for Who's Your Caddy 2018. It's Arcand and Zolak. Nice to have you with us here today. We'll get to your phone calls in just a moment, but I want to once again let everyone know that all the proceeds here from this from the 2018 iteration of the Who's Your Caddy Classic are going to PACT, the Pediatric Advanced Care Team at Children's Hospital Boston, and also a big special thanks to McGovern Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram, and of course, Callaway Golf. We'll have everybody from our side teeing off here in about 40 minutes or so. Looking forward to that. In the meantime, let's get to your phone calls here. We're trying to fix the home run derby. 617-779-0985 is the number. And let's start off with Kyle in Boston. Hey, Kyle.
So I figured out how to get all the, like, the made-up bracket that you guys have. And about a month prior, just let the league say, if you enter the home run derby, juice it up. You guys won't get drug tested. We'll just crank you full of steroids to your heart's content. And when you win, we'll get you, like, a sweet chain or, you know, like a huge diamond-encrusted medallion. I don't know. Just make it, like, let them juice. Be like, you get no testing for the next, you know, 6 months. And you get all the big names coming in, and they'll crush balls out of the park.
So steroids and bling, that's what? That's how you want to solve the derby.
Why can't you just do that for baseball?
Juice and bling.
Hell with the derby.
Yeah.
Hell with the month prior.
Honestly.
Do it for the season.
And that'd also be a problem. You do it for the month prior. What if the steroids still in their system? They get tested in the second half, and, you know, that would be an issue. But, yeah, hey, Kyle, you know what? I like the direction you're going with this, I got to say. Oh, Kyle's gone. Anyway, you know, we've talked about, like, do you think steroids are out of baseball?
No.
Of course not, right? Like, I mean, guys are still doing things.
You're trying to stay ahead of the system is what you're trying to do.
Exactly. Yep. You know, and it's different
now,
obviously.
It's like the Edelman thing. They couldn't even tell you what Edelman was on. But
yeah.
We got you on something, but we don't know what it is.
Yeah. It's some kind of chemical compound that we know is wrong and we know it's bad. We don't have a name for it, but we know you're not supposed to be taking
right.
it. So here's four games for you. Let's go to Sam. He is in Hopkinton. Hello, Sam.
How you doing, guys?
What's up, Sam?
Hey, I just want to make a quick point on the Le'Veon Bell contract talk. I think that the Steelers should be bending over backwards to sign him for this $14 million. I think they're completely undercutting his value to their offense. I think, like, in the way that the league's headed right now, I think that he's, like, the epitome of what a team wants in a running back. He's one of the best, arguably one of the best runners, and it goes without saying his catching ability, too. So I think that if the Steelers don't have him in their offense, then that's, like, a huge hit.
Yeah.
It's a big hit for them, I would say. But is that really the way the league's going right now? Are they going towards running backs like that? Is that the way the league's? I mean,
no. He's unique.
You know, he's a pretty unique, and that's why there's even a discussion about why he could get paid $14 million. Any other running back's not getting close to that, and they shouldn't. And I also sort of feel like, you know, the good playoff teams here, like the Patriots had a good running back in Deion Lewis, but he wasn't good enough to keep. The Eagles' running situation wasn't anything to write home about. I mean, like, it doesn't seem like it's necessarily like the league's going in that direction.
They won a Super Bowl with LeGarrette Blount, as did New England.
Yeah.
I mean, so to think that the position is changing, I just think Bell's, you know, he's separate from everybody else. Jim read a gambling little side note thing. If Le'Veon Bell suspended for 8 games, the Pittsburgh Steelers' playoff chances dropped from 72% to 57%. Is that what it was, Jim?
Damn.
55%?
Yeah, 57, and winning the division drops from 61% to 35%. That's according to Sportsline.
He's so much of their offense.
Yeah, I mean, he really is. And considering that they have a dynamic, maybe number one receiver in all of football on that roster as well, to say that, well, yeah, you take the running back out of it, though, you're going to lose a whole game in the standings. You're going to lose this much in the division. Like, that's
see, I would think if you took Antonio Brown out of it, I would say, okay, yeah.
Sure.
But you could still win games without him.
Yeah.
Isn't that why you don't pay the running back that much money? How much of the Patriots' percentage go down? And name one of their running backs, any of them, and does their percentage go down at all?
No.
No.
Not at all. Not any of them.
Because they do it right.
Maybe a little bit. Because I don't know if he has a skill set that's easily mimicked by some of these other players. Like, Burkhead can't do what White does. Michelle, I don't know. Gillislee definitely can't. The other kid from Cincinnati, Jeremy Hill, he definitely can't. Like, you know, there's just that's unique. He can
right.
do it, but there's not a lot of guys that you can say that about. Let's go to Jeff in the car. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, how you guys doing? Yeah,
what's
I
up,
just
Jeff?
Wanted to talk about the steroids baseball.
Yep.
You know, when it was first, when the spotlight was on steroids in the, you know, early 2000s, late 90s, I mean, it was a completely different situation than it is now. I mean, I feel like sometimes even human growth hormone gets, like, you know, bunched in with the taboo of steroids. And what kills me about it is I'm totally pro take whatever supplements that you possibly can to stay alive in this game, because I mean these guys are playing 126 games a year, and I mean there should be, like, someone should just literally take a look at all the stuff that is currently being used today compare it to what it was when there was all the congressional hearings based on the steroids that were available in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Andro.
And just, yeah, I mean, for the love of God, we're not taking horse steroids anymore. I mean, people are taking, you know, people are taking human growth hormone. People are taking creatine supplements. I took creatine in high school as an athlete. And, you know, of course, the risk was you got to be careful with it because it's still, even if it's a supplement, it's still something that could damage your liver potentially. But there's got to be more education on the actual taking of steroids, on what steroids are available now, on what supplements are available now, because I feel like there's a big panic attack in baseball. And everything that is a potential steroid or a PR nightmare for the baseball, for the MLB, I think is immediately put on a banned list. And that's why a lot of these athletes are probably banging their heads against the wall trying to stay in the game. And we're having a lack of highlights because these guys should be under some kind of supplement to keep them going for half of the year, for crying out loud, that they're playing. Thank you, guys.
All right, thanks for the call there, Jeff. I don't know, I look at it like this. Like, I think that these conversations are happening. I feel like these teams are talking to their players and their trainers and everybody and saying, listen, we know what's going on here. We know how this works. We understand that you guys have to be able to stay competitive and stay active and all that, but we can't let it out. We can't let the public know about this because we get one, especially in baseball in particular, you get one little whiff of steroids in baseball and all of a sudden it's congressional hearings.
Yeah, I mean, why is it so bad in baseball, but... You know, other sports, you know, you skip four games, you got busted, and you come back, you're
and
fine.
Everyone goes, okay, well, there's back now. Okay.
Like Cano.
No big deal.
You know, uh-oh, you got it. You know?
80 games for Robinson Cano.
Oh, but, God, you know, it's like the kiss of death, too, for these BBWA writers. You'll never get in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and, you know, that's they take themselves so seriously with that, of course. And also, I mean, there's just sort of this thing with baseball. It goes back all this way. There are these historic records held by these old guys that people care about. It's just, you know, it's a whole different environment. And I think that kind of sucks. I mean, it's not the same toll that it takes on your body that playing football does, obviously. I mean, playing baseball is not even close. But you still have the element of, okay, well, what's successful? What works? How do you get people engaged? And this isn't the way to do it, I don't think. 617-779-0985. That is your phone number. Coming up on your final hour here, live from the Who's Your Caddy Classic. We have no commercials here, just the headlines from Mike Sarge-Riley, who is live back in Dorchester. And then we'll get right back to your phone calls here, live from Atkinson. It's Arkand and Zolak here, 98.5 The Sports Hub.